Blog Talk Radio.
Hi guys, I hope that you can hear me. I'm going to try to find my chat room. I don't even know if I have one because I'm having a little bit of trouble with my computer today. Let me see if I can get something going on. And I've got a chat room. Can you guys hear me? Somebody please type in because I'm a mess. It's a mess. I lost my whole screen. So let me go see if I can do this real quick. Please type in if you can hear me or my music. Okay, now that's not working. Okay. All right, I'm just going to keep talking and see if that comes up. And Bill, if you want to call in, I don't know what's happening. Something's wrong with my page. Okay. Don't know. I don't know if I can get people to call in. You can try. Somebody try to call in because I don't know what's going on. But I can't get the music to work. I can't get anything in the studio to work. So let's see. Okay. Can't do anything there. You have commercials. Okay. I don't know what's happening with any of it. Okay. So. Oh, good. You can hear me, but not music. Okay. It's not working. My board, for some reason, is not working. Okay, I'm going to try to refresh one more time and pray it works because I can see you guys and I can see my microphone and I can see the board, but it's just being ridiculously slow. And I was going to play War Pig. So if you can come in, anyone call in and see if we can get the show. Hi, FT, Rod, Bill, Ron. For some reason, this thing is just circling, and I don't know whether it's... Although it says it's playing. I had War Pigs and it's playing. All right, let's pick up Bill. If I can get you. Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
I know the words.
I know. I can't get it to stop circling. That's another problem. Oh, there we go. Okay. No, it's not working. It's just ridiculous. Oh, God. All right. It won't reload. So go ahead. Can you hear, hopefully you can hear me and I can hear you. Let me get back my chat room. Can you hear me? Yeah, I'm just doing the best I can right now. So I can't play music, so I've got my chat room back and keep talking.
Oh, what a day we've had. What a day. Polls are showing that the people are not in favor of striking Syria. We had John Kerry and Obama flunkies come to the Senate and get questioned by the Senate. I thought Rand Paul did very well in his questioning. There was a question I never heard asked, and I would have liked to have heard asked of John Kerry and the Obama cronies, flunkies, and that would have been... They kept referring to Al-Qaeda. They never mentioned the Muslim Brotherhood at all. And knowing how our elected are and how they like to dodge things by you not being specific enough, I think the question should have been Al-Qaeda and the Muslim Brotherhood each time it was asked. And it was never asked, and the Muslim Brotherhood was never mentioned in all of it. Searching, I'm finding as many or more articles saying that it wasn't, that it was the rebels, than I am saying it was Assad. And at least, where is the real proof? Word of mouth doesn't mean nothing. Where is the real proof?
Well, okay, look, they're lying through their teeth. I don't believe that Assad had anything to do with this. I don't know. All I know is that there's a reason for all this stuff. And this clown, this Carrie, keeps asking same thing and kept seeing the same thing. And he keeps going, well, we just can't do nothing. And my question to him is, why not? The hell you can't just do nothing. Stop doing anything.
It seems to be that if you get killed with a chemical weapon, that outranks getting killed any other way. You know, we've had thousands of Christians killed all over the Middle East and stuff, and that doesn't seem to get even a flick out of our elected. Nobody says anything. Media doesn't report about it. We have more people killed here on our soil than have been killed in Syria in this last attack by illegals, yet no one ever mentions that. We're not bombing Mexico. Big Pharma, far. More people die from Big Pharma far than do wars.
How many millions?
Big Pharma.
We're not dead.
You know.
Yeah, we're not bombing Planned Parenthood buildings either, are we?
Oh no, there's another perfect example.
Oh,
you're
and we're not
about, that's murder. There's murder going on, and we don't do nothing. We turn a blind eye,
bombing,
or we accept it and support it.
We're not bombing Monsanto.
Dead is dead.
We're not bombing Monsanto. We're not bombing the GMO crops. None of it. We're just letting it go on. Oh, and there's nothing done or said about ever those chemtrails in the sky. Not one word. Nothing from the EPA. Nothing from the government. Nothing from the people. Nothing except on Facebook. And a little bit out here in California, we've got a bunch of people going down in San Diego crying the blues about it, just like they're screaming about not going to war in Syria. And I'm telling you, every faction you've ever heard of is going out. They're all coming together, and they're saying no to this crap, to Monsanto, to the war, to all of it.
Now, Ron just gave a great question. He wonders, how would Congress and Clinton Obama feel if we the people rose up and China and Russia came to our aid with bombs and shot across the bow?
You know what? I wouldn't put it past Putin. That guy's making more sense than anybody in our stupid Congress of baboons today.
Right now, if you're reading the comments these people make, you're thinking Putin's the American and Obama's the Russian.
Hell yeah. Well, it looks that way. It's an upside-down world, Bill. We've been how many weeks, months, and years have we been on these shows talking about it? Oh, my Lord.
Putin reaches out to the world and says, let's help stamp out the anti-Christian stuff. And now Obama wants to go in Putin's face and try to tap gay rights.
Oh, it's crazy. What was I going to say? I don't know if
it's trying to... It's his arrogance in him. He has to feel like in some way he is superior to Putin. And physically and manly, every way he's inferior to Putin.
So what is to be gained by the elites? Because, like I said, he's not smart enough to
control,
do anything on his
own. Wealth and control. It's all about
greed. Is there a central bank in Syria? I guess that's my next question.
Not at the moment, but there will be.
And the other portion of that is...
Just like happened in Libya.
Yeah, the other portion, of course, is now that there will be. And so now we know who's running this. Now we know who's behind this and pulling the strings on Obama, the little puppet. Because, like I said, that's all he's good for.
We've got another country trying to throw the central bank out. Hungary.
Oh, God. Well, you know, that was... All right, look. We're looking at what... that clip that was played on Ron's show and a couple others regarding Wesley Clark talking about how many wars were going to be fought in what countries, how many countries within 5 years or 10 years, and all the names. They kept naming them all off, and the guy goes, we're going to war in Iraq, and he goes, why? And he goes, I don't know. It's just on the list. Well, you know, we know. Oh, it's in the lineup. Of course. Yeah, this is... Look, the only thing transparent about this whole deal...
stabilization, see, they all had governments. You got to destabilize those governments because they're not playing along with the global agenda. And you got to get governments in there that you feel will follow along with a global agenda and help them create a global government.
Oh, okay. Ron's talking about the one. How do I find it? I know it's... Okay, let me go up here. I'm going to the top. Because every time I hit something, the damn thing doesn't work. The red line. Yes, absolutely. This must go back quite a ways. Okay, there's the one. Okay, I've got all the spiritual stuff. The title, General Clark. Okay, so never mind. It's all alphabetical. Let me just look real quick. H-I-G. Ah! Dang, there we are.
General Clark's the title.
There it is. Okay, no. It's only 2 minutes. It's amazing. If I can play it and not get knocked out of here. I don't think I will, but let's see. If something happens, we can always mute it somehow. Let me see if I can play it.
About 10 days after 9/11, I went through the Pentagon and I saw Secretary Rumsfeld and Deputy Secretary Wolfowitz. I went downstairs just to say hello to some of the people on the joint staff who had used to work for me. And one of the generals called me and he said, "Sir, you got to come in. You got to come in and talk to me a second." I said, "Well, you're too busy." He said, No. He says, "We've made the decision. We're going to war with Iraq." This was on or about the 20th of September. I said, "We're going to war with Iraq? Why?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "I guess they don't know what else to do." So I said, "Well, did they find some information connecting Saddam to Al-Qaeda?" He said, No. He says, "There's nothing new that way. They just made the decision to go to war with Iraq." He said, "I guess it's like we don't know what to do about terrorists, but we've got a good military and we can take down governments." And he said, "I guess if the only tool you have is a hammer, every problem has to look like a nail." So I came back to see him a few weeks later, and by that time we were bombing in Afghanistan. I said, "Are we still going to war with Iraq?" And he said, "Oh, it's worse than that." He said, he reached over on his desk, he picked up a piece of paper, and he said, I just got this down from upstairs, meaning the Secretary of Defense's office today, and he said, "This is a memo that describes how we're going to take out 7 countries in 5 years, starting with Iraq and then Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and finishing off Iran." So the truth is about the Middle East is, had there been no oil there, it would be like Africa. Nobody is threatening to intervene in Africa. The problem is the opposite. We keep asking for people to intervene and stop it. And there's no question that the presence of petroleum throughout the region has sparked great power involvement. Whether that was the specific motivation for the coup or not, I can't tell you. But there's always been this attitude that somehow we could intervene and use force in the region.
So there you have that one. And that was a like 2 minute clip. I mean, they knew this before. And petrodollar, yes, because these people, you know, they can't wrap their heads around anything that makes sense. Even my libtard friend Fran here in San Marcos understands that this entire country of ours is rich with natural resources. My God, we've got natural gas, shale, oil, everything you need, coal, to last for hundreds of years, you know. And like
and
I,
we
that,
have
that's
all
why
kinds
I mean, that
of
one,
laws and regulations
yeah,
keeping
that's
us
why,
from touching it.
Exactly. I said, if you want to stop everything and don't let anyone have the natural gas in Syria, just send our EPA over there and nobody will get a damn thing. And then take them out of this country because I'm sick of them. They can have it. Let me tell you. Oh, I get so frustrated. And, I wasn't completely, you know, that guy that was on Ron's show, his name was Beasley or something. And I actually think I was too easy on him. And I know Ron was too because we wanted to try to turn him around. Mike on the other, from the hot seat, was like freaking pants on fire. He was ready to kill the guy. But he didn't call in, and I'm gonna razz him for that because he's always saying, "Come on, you guys, call in," you know. But I mean, I was more passionate than I was angry, because I get frustrated, you know, and I should just, you know. But what I think what made me more angry than anything else was that my story about the sandwich and the, you know, Obama on the horse was lost on this guy, and all he got out of it was I was bashing Zero. I mean, what the hell? That didn't make sense to me. It was ridiculous. And that's why I was kind of ticked off. So that was yesterday's deal.
Well,
but,
I referred to Obama's Muslim connection, and he just wanted to deny that altogether. To me, just a typical liberal. You might think that you can change him and this and that, but he's still going to stand up for the liberal immoralities.
Well, plus the fact, the whole thing is incongruous. The guy's gay. What's going to happen when they find that out? I mean, that's all he needs. Yeah, that's probably one of the reasons, one of the main reasons, if he's so into this Muslim stuff and this Islam and this, you know, prayer rugs, that's probably why he had all of his gay lovers killed so they wouldn't behead him, the rat. Okay, we got Ron coming in. Hey. Oh.
We've already gave billions of dollars to these rebels, over $1 billion to these rebels.
Well, wasn't
and
wasn't
weapons
this,
and training and you
well,
know.
Okay, what's
yeah?
Was it,
and let's not that, forget. Hold on, let's not forget the Saudis have given them.
Oh my God! So was
tons
it,
of
was
billions
it,
and the Israelis. So let's
yeah,
not
what,
leave everybody out of this party.
I know the party. Well, here's the other part. This is going back to Benghazi. Wasn't there that whole deal going to Syria through Turkey and Libya to arm these, like all these gun runnings? And this was going on long before.
Isn't it amazing that they know all this stuff they claim about Syria and their stuff, but don't know crap about what happened at Benghazi?
Well, and see, that's the thing, and that's what, you know, Rod had put in about Syria targeting civilians. But the problem I have with all that, and I'm glad that he agrees with me, you know, who in the hell do you believe? Because we're talking about the same government, the same media that we know has repeatedly lied to us.
Oh my God.
You know, I wouldn't trust them if it was 12 noon and they said the sun was out, okay? And now suddenly we're going to believe them. See, this is the same problem I have with the Iran giving weapons and you know, roadside bombs and all this crap to the insurgents in Afghanistan. And I ask people, how do you know that? Well, because we found weapons. How do you know that? Well, because it was on the news. It had Iranian markings. How do you know that? You know that because that's what you were told. You know, even I mean, honest to God, even if I was there and I saw it with my own eyes, I would be saying, wait a minute, how do I know that, you know, someone in our government didn't spray paint this crap?
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know what Iranian markings look like, much less.
Right. So what you're going to do is you're not going to take anyone's word for it. You're going to say, okay, where's my forensic guys to prove this out?
Right, and the thing is, who benefits?
And how did we get there, folks? How did we get there that we can't trust our government? We looked through them and, I mean, name me a time Obama's made a speech when he did not tell a lie.
Right, and don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to defend Assad. I don't know the guy. He might be a saint.
No,
he might be
I'm
a piece
saying,
of garbage. But
I can't trust my side either because the ones in charge have lied to me so consistently.
He touched me first. He did it. He pushed me. It's childish.
It's sick.
It's absolutely
they're in
childish.
The back seat going, "This, he's touching me."
You know, it's kind of like what you were talking about with Busby last night, Linda, and I understand, and
Beasley,
believe
yeah.
me, I or Beasley, what Mr. Beasley, I understand your reservation and your aggravation with him. I heard the comments he was making when you were giving the story, the comparison, the parable, and he's going, oh, for crud's sakes, give me a break. Okay, so there's two ways to take that. Either he's a dyed-in-the-wool lib, right? Either he's a dyed-in-the-wool lib who is just calling to stir the pot, or he's much like a lot of conservative folks that I know. Going back several years, when I was trying to talk about Ron Paul, and they had the same reaction that Ron Paul was a nut and a lunatic, and his foreign policy was crazy, right? And all these things, they just didn't know any better.
Exactly.
Okay, and now
they heard it ad nauseum on the airwaves.
Right, they were so indoctrinated with it, and now when we take a look at what Ron Paul talked about, gosh, you know, the more time that goes by, the more the man looks like a genius. I'm sorry.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh my gosh.
To the
point
that even Mr. CFR himself, Newt Gingrich, is saying maybe we need to rethink our foreign policy because it's pretty clear at this point it hasn't worked out quite so well.
Well, I noticed today that Rand Paul was pretty upset with Kerry and wasn't letting him get away with anything. And the reason he kept answering...
Kerry was doing a Hillary Clinton act.
Well, yeah. And the reason Rand Paul was answering his Kerry's questions that he had asked him prior to him completing his sentences is because he knew that all he was going to get was this rhetoric, and he was tired of it. And
right.
He also knew that it doesn't matter. Why are we going through this exercise if he's going to do this anyway, whether we vote it or not? Well, you know
right.
what I mean?
Well, it's window dressing. It's kabuki theater. We've had these conversations 100 flipping times.
It gives him a scapegoat.
Exactly. And guys, boys and girls, let's not, like I said, back up, take a deep breath, and try to take an objective look at the situation as if you're watching a television commercial or a series of television commercials. What is it you're being sold?
Right.
What is it they're trying to sell you? Because, you know, just like a lot of television commercials, you know, with 2/3 naked women and all this, and you don't know what they're... Oh, it's laundry detergent. Oh, I get it. Gosh, silly me, I should have known.
It's a
all
poor
women
focus.
Do laundry in a thong and pasties. I mean, you know. It's
exactly.
the same thing. They are selling
sure.
you a bill of goods. And well, so look, what you have to do is step back and say, okay, what are you trying to sell me? And then you got to figure out why.
Increase.
Qui bono. That's Latin for who benefits.
Oh, yeah. Who's getting the
transferable. Follow the money.
Yeah.
Qui bono. Who benefits?
Who's going to profit out of this?
And, you know, and I didn't get the chance to go into it in depth last night. Just take a look.
Central Bank.
Well, take a look at what you've heard the last 10 years, 20 years.
Right.
What is leaving the United States of America at breakneck speed? Corporations.
Corporations and
where,
jobs.
And
manufacturing.
Where are they going?
Overseas.
Primarily
going,
to?
Well, they go to China and they go
to
I think they go. All right. They also go to the Arab Emirates, like Dubai
sure.
and
sure.
places like that. Oh my gosh. And Belize,
okay.
and anywhere else you want to name.
Here's the thing. These corporations have the ability to do what most of us don't have the ability to do. They have the ability to vote with their wallet.
Right.
Okay? You and I don't have that luxury. For the most part, we can't pack up and move to Panama or wherever
right.
else on the globe, right, to a situation and an economy where it's more profitable and more beneficial to us. We don't, by and large, don't have that ability. And if Congress
right.
has their way and they keep passing these laws,
sure.
we won't be able to legally do so. So
right,
you have to ask
yeah,
yourself.
They're closing the door.
If the corporations are leaving, they're leaving for prosperity, for, you know, less regulations, an easier environment for them to ply their wares, regardless of what you think of the, you know, multinational corporations, because
right.
I know that they are largely behind what drives Washington, D.C., but what's behind them? Where do these multinational corporations get their money, aside from us, the sheep that get sheared? They get their money, their operating capital, from banks. Okay?
Yes.
And so you have to look at the whole thing as a big
picture.
The big picture.
I know.
And if corporations are fleeing the United States, that's called capital, okay?
Yes.
Capital is fleeing the United States. Where is it going? That's what we got to look at. Why is it going there?
Right.
Why is capital leaving America and going to China, going to Indonesia, going to these other countries? And what does that say about America? What's left behind? Why are they leaving? When you drive through these small towns that had all the
sure.
mom and pop stores, and you see them all,
yep.
you know, closed up and boarded
my
up.
My God, look at Detroit.
For decades. Okay, boys and girls, that's a microcosm economy. That's a micro economy. Now we're talking about a macro economy, the United
sure.
States of America, and they're leaving in droves. Why are they leaving? Well, it's not just regulations. It's not just taxes. Okay, corporations usually are ahead of the curve. They've got insider information. And they know where the hottest markets are going to be, and guess where they're not?
Here.
The United States of America. So you're slowly seeing the boarding up, and perhaps there's a power struggle going on. I suspect that that may be what we're seeing with the Middle East, as the Middle East is so important to the U.S. dollar. Without the Middle East, without OPEC and the petrodollar arrangement, it completely changes the dynamic of our economy at home.
If you can't get the Middle East to go along with their global agenda, then they have to change the leadership of the Middle East so that it will go along with their global agenda.
Correct. And see, for all these many decades, the U.S. has been able to, without lifting a finger, force other countries to accept our bad debt as if it were gold.
Right.
See? And that's unraveling. And I think that that is, I still firmly believe that this G20 meeting coming up in St. Petersburg, Russia, is absolutely instrumental. Not to mention, you go back and look at our timeline, it was in April that we first said that, you know, Assad gassed his people, and then, well, that kind of fell apart, kind of like Benghazi was all about a video, and that fell apart.
Oh, my God.
So we had to bide our time. But what happened in March, just prior to April, was the BRICS announced, hey, we've inked a deal, we've all agreed, and we're going to try to open our own central banking system, much like the World Bank and the IMF, and we're going to eliminate the U.S. dollar from our conversation. They represent almost half of the global production, the global trade in the world. That's huge, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry. I understand, you know, when we start talking about, you know, this country holds this much treasury bonds and this one holds this many treasury notes or bonds, I understand that, you know, it's not a true physical threat to our government, but it is a physical threat to the status quo and to commerce as it's been operating since 1948.
Oh,
and who's the beneficiary of this commerce? It's the central banking system and the corporations that it owns. And, you know, it's like a incestuous relationship.
It's an evil. Yeah, it is.
They see the shift, and they're going, you know, there's a battle coming, and we're getting out before it gets hairy. We're going to China. What's China?
Yep.
China is one of these BRICS nations. So if they prevail and we're on the losing end, why do you think all these corporations are now already pre-positioned and headquartered in China?
Yeah.
It's not rocket science.
Right.
It's
and
really
I also
not,
heard.
It's simple to see.
I heard that Russia, now I don't know how true this is, that Putin is pretty fed up with the status quo of what's happening around the globe, and he doesn't like this New World Order idea, and he does not like Agenda 21 or GMOs or any of that stuff.
No.
You know,
it
could be that he's full of crap and he's playing the game and he's playing his role. It could be that he's playing his role. I don't know. I don't trust
anyone. Well, you've got Obama going to get any space for gay rights in Russia.
But, you know, again, Bill, let's take this at face value. Let's look at the commercial, because we're being sold something here. They're running a commercial.
Yep.
So the first commercial that we get is Snowden.
Oh, God.
Right?
Yeah.
So everyone's got to believe, A, that Snowden's a traitor, and B, he ends up where? Oh, well, of course, Russia. Then we have the little snit over homosexuals. Well, now, we all know that with the right here in this country and with conservatives, that's a hot-button issue.
Sure.
More so for some than others, but still, again, you're being sold something. They're playing a commercial.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing your tune. And then we have the run-up with Assad. And what do? We run out all the usual suspects. Oh, the poor women and the poor little children. Never mind, folks, that we're aborting babies here in the United States and that your tax dollars are paying for it. Look at these poor children that are being slaughtered. Isn't this horrendous? Okay?
Look,
well,
you're being played, you're being sold a bill of goods, and I don't trust Putin any more than
That's
I trust
true.
Obama.
I know. Look, okay, back, what was it, 2 to 3, at least 3 months ago, before they had all this, you know, talk about sarin gas and all this stuff, there were huge amounts of not only beheadings in this part, but in Syria in particular, they were cutting the hearts out of the dead ones and eating them on cameras.
Well,
so,
again, you know, and maybe maybe that's real. Maybe it really happened. I always hearken back to the poor babies in the incubators when Poppy Bush was in office, and
that's
it was
true.
Complete hokum. It was total theater. You know, so God only knows what that video is from, and you know when it was filmed. I mean, there's no timestamp or any. Guys, you can't believe, what was it? You believe nothing you hear.
And half of what you see.
And half of what you see, because your eyes do deceive you. I've seen the way. I have seen.
Couldn't I say that same thing about books, Ron?
Absolutely. I've seen firsthand how they manipulate video and edit it to give you the impression. Hell, they did it with Ron Paul when he won the straw poll. Right, and
they
showed video from the year prior, and then had to come up with a retraction on the beloved Fox News, because they, you know, while they didn't out and out lie, they didn't make an outright claim. What they did was they used video from a previous year while talking about a story on a current event, to give the impression that the video was from the current event, when in fact it was from another year.
Oh my
gosh.
And
it was obvious, because if you watched the Fox News and the video, and you actually went to the video of the current one, everybody's wearing different clothing.
It's
kind of obvious if you were a student paying attention. So,
we've seen that on this Syria thing. Some of the videos that we're playing when Carrie was talking were from several years ago, and it wasn't even from there.
Oh yeah, those were the people in the shrouds and guests, and then there was other things too that were going on. Nobody knows. In fact, Ron talked about it when he was commenting on those films where the bubbles coming out of the mouths of these kids, and all these people who are attending to them are not wearing hazmat suits. The whole thing looks staged. In other words, you don't know what to believe anymore. And let us not forget, and this goes with every medium that you can go with. This goes with books. Look what they did when, it was about three and a half years ago, that book by Allen and Schweikart came out called A Patriot's History of the United States. And at the same time, they were good old Howard Zinn puts out one called A People's History of the United States. Well, the people's right there gives it away with, that's not Communist Russia, I don't know what you call it, and besides, Howard Zinn's a commie. And my poor, unbeknowing, not educated cousin-in-law is up there in Oregon or wherever, or Washington, reading the wrong book, and I'm going, oh my God, I give up. So after that, we stopped emailing each other. It's ridiculous. It's like, you have to be so careful. And same thing with Common Core. I can't tell you how many emails back and forth with these clowns on the Facebook page, and these people are saying, oh well, we're stuck with this now, you know, until something better comes along. I almost came unglued. The next time that comes up, there will be a retort to that mess, because I'm fighting it, and I will continue to fight it. I've told them flat out, this is communism. I don't like communism. So yeah, they can take that Common Core and put it in a place where, you know, the sun will never reach. So
here we're going. Almost everything we're mentioning, it's always about one of two things, either about gaining wealth or gaining control. It's
true.
About power over others. You have the power by wealth, or you have the power by control. Usually they're looking to have the two hand in hand. And that's where we're at going around. You cannot mention anything that's going on in this country that is not directly related to Agenda 21. But try waking up a public. Try waking up a public to the threats and the facts when
we
you
actually,
have the media.
I know. We actually ran
and
out
you're
of time
elected
yesterday.
Just flat out lying about it.
We actually ran out of time yesterday because I was so close to going into Agenda 21 with that other dude that was on Ron's show, and we ran out of time. I mean, he had a two-hour show, and it was, like, wild. I mean, that was a hot – that was an incredible show. We almost needed another 20 minutes or so, and I'll – dang it, I wish Mikey would have called in, although he probably would have been using language that we didn't like on Patriot Families. But anyway, I think it would have been cool. But – anyway,
well,
that's just me.
I understood part of my frustration. He wouldn't let, when he did talk, he wouldn't let no one else finish. He kept interrupting and cutting them off.
Well, I
was just
so,
like a politician.
Like I said, I couldn't believe that all he got out of that story was that I was bashing Zero. That wasn't the point of the story at all. And everybody else except him got it. I mean, geez.
All I got was
wow.
he was trying to blame the GOP for everything.
Oh, or the right. He kept saying the right.
Yeah.
I almost did it because, like, again, we were running out of time. I was about ready to say, and so you're hung up on this right-left paradigm. Why do you keep talking about, you know, I think he's completely swallowed all the Kool-Aid and really
but
buys
was,
into this.
Was,
not that,
but he was understanding that both parties are corrupt. Both
right.
parties are full of liars. They're only self-servers serving themselves, thinking that they're going to gain wealth or whatever out of the whole deal.
Somewhere along the thing. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm back. And this is something you got to understand, and this is what I was saying before. And you're right, and he was rude. He, you know, and I tried to – it was everybody talking over everybody. But at the same time, two things. Number one, whichever of the two slots that Beasley fits into, whether it was a troll, and I really don't believe that's true, but it's possible. I'm a tough one to fool. The other one is that while he understands a good bit of what's wrong, he
right.
still cannot bring
liberal.
Himself to admit that because Obama happens to have a D next to his name, we can't hang it on Obama. Well, and he's right, and you know, we can't hang it all on Obama. He's just one in a long line of. But it's the same reaction that you
right.
will see from people who are more conservative, who may even consider themselves constitutionalists,
right.
when someone
right.
speaks ill of Ronald Reagan.
Exactly. No.
Oh, my God. They go into tailspin.
There you go. Yeah. They have hissy fit.
So, right. That's crazy. That's bullshit.
No,
or if you start talking about, look, the United States is evil
right.
in what we've been doing overseas and using our military
sure.
to intervene. Look, there's a lot of folks on the right, quote unquote, right, conservative constitutionalists, allegedly, that will have an absolute friggin' hernia.
Yeah, a stroke.
If you try to talk about that. And guys, I'm telling you, because when I first came to Patriot Families, when I first started having interaction
sure.
with people, those were all my positions. And
right.
I knew that I had to very gently and
I know.
Slowly spoon feed a little
I
at
know.
A time.
You did
so
great.
So that I didn't get that absolute
panic.
Horrible reaction.
<Like me. laughs>
Yeah, because you become defensive and emotional immediately. And once you go emotional, all logic's out the window.
What I think what kind of threw me off a little bit was he didn't give me the chance to explain my position on the so-called right and the R and the D paradigm. You know, it was not like I was – you know, saying Obama's evil, and I know Hitlery and Kerry are, but he didn't let me go on and say Boehner's just as bad, and McConnell and you know, the rest
right.
of them, and the Bobbsey twins, which are now the male Kardashians. That would be McShane and Graham Cracker. Oh, my
there
God,
is,
I can't stand those.
There is an old adage.
The fact is, they all serve the same masters, the global elite, no matter which party they were coming out of. We pointed this out if he'd ever heard us talk about Agenda 21. He's heard us pointed out that it was backed by Republicans and Democrats, both.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing.
It still is.
Okay?
Oh, I know.
And I'm telling you, we have to practice.
I
you
know.
Have to, it takes conditioning. okay, to get yourself to this point. But there's two old sayings. One is older than the other. Okay, the newest one, give them enough rope, they will hang themselves.
Yes.
Okay. But in the scripture it says, be wise as a serpent
and meek as a dove.
So
I know.
When someone says something that really stokes your coals,
mm-hmm. take
and
a deep
you
breath.
Immediately jump on them, it turns into
a
pissing
fight.
Contest, if
yeah.
you will.
MMA.
And
hey,
nobody
I do good, Ron. I'm not on a plane to California.
No, I understand, Bill. You know, baby steps. I get it. But the thing is, what I have learned with people is that when they're that passionate about a position,
right.
and they're stepping over everyone, they're talking over everyone, I let them run with it because inevitably they will slip.
Right.
And the more room you give them to run,
right.
they really start getting their legs under themselves, and then they, whoops, and that's
yeah.
when I'll pounce and say, hold on. Hang on, I'm going to take issue with something you said right there.
Right.
Let's walk this back just a moment. And that's how you, if they're honestly open-minded and rational human beings, that's how you get them to begin to think about a
sure.
position. They just stated
right.
out of their own mouth.
Right.
That's not right.
You have learned very well how to do this because you've proven yourself over the course of the time we've all been doing these shows. Because Yo and myself and others may not have come around to your way of thinking. And you were very patient, which I have a problem with that. I take after my mother with the patience. Job is not in my DNA, the patience part.
By the way, not to cut you off, but do not, under any circumstances, never pray for patience.
Right. Yeah, I know. I heard. Yeah. Or any.
Well,
any
I always tell my wife I don't have any patients. I'm not a doctor.
You know, I've used that line a million times, Bill.
Yeah, but, it's pretty crazy.
My wife always, she gets an injury, she'll be there, take a look at this. And I'm like, I'm not a qualified doctor. I shouldn't be looking at this.
But, you, no, look, okay. In fact, I'm going to try to get that YouTube and convert it. Now I can convert things. I figured it out. But of Dinesh D'Souza, because he, like you, Ron, and Bill does the same thing. He's been very good when he talks to these people in instances. His octaves don't go up like mine. So I have to keep learning and learning because Dinesh is like the most soft-spoken, commonsensical, you know, Dr. Carson, Ron Paul person I've ever – I mean, he's amazing. And not only is he brilliant, he's funny. And he can do a parable like, no, you know, like Jesus. He's amazing. And so I must learn from him. And that's and you know who else got to do that very well was Milton Friedman, because he was sitting next to, way back in the day, that libtard, what was his name? The one with the gray hair. You'll know who I'm talking about. But and he asked him point blank because Bill Donahue, that's the guy. He says, well, because Bill Donahue was talking about, you know, greed and corporate greed and, you know, the immorality of this and, you know, all this other stuff. And he just looked right at him and he says, can you name me any regime in the history recently, such as Russia or China or old Soviet or any of these people or Castro in Cuba who have not run on greed? You can't do that because that's
right.
the essence of it. And he was very
greed is as you define it, you know, and
right.
that's the other thing. How do you define greed?
Right.
That's a head blower for most of them. Define it.
And the guy was speechless because he'd never thought of, you know, because he's been sitting in there in the allegory of the cave, looking at the visions on the wall for, you know, 20 years, right? And I believe
exactly.
that Mr. Beasley,
isn't greed,
I think
is
Mr. Beasley
the desire
too.
To have more than others do.
No, I don't believe so. Because if that were the case, then you know we'd never get anywhere.
Right. Look. Here you have
I don't really see that we're getting anywhere.
Well,
but,
no.
I think greed is what controls the global elite. I think greed is what controls our elected. And
that's excessive and perverted
in
greed.
In so many
though.
Ways, greed controls so much. It's
but
either
you know,
greed for power or greed for wealth.
We use this term,
Yeah, and that's maybe
so
it's
freely,
not used correctly.
So freely, we use this term greed, and yet it's largely undefined. Now,
right.
I think we could go back to Scripture.
Absolutely.
And substitute
mammon
for greed. I think they're, you know, the way that they're used primarily is pretty well interchangeable.
And you cannot serve two masters, and that's the whole deal. That's it, right there.
The fact remains that when you begin to lust after or covet that which you don't have, of it you get, it's
the
never
more you want.
Enough. You want more and more.
And,
you become, in many instances, addicted to or enslaved
right.
to the power
to
and
like
the influence that you
or drugs.
Gain. Absolutely. So at the one hand, we are absolutely angry and furious, righteous anger, perhaps it may be, at the corporatists and those that we see as greedy. But at the same time, do we look at them through the same eyes that Christ does? And he sees a poor, tortured soul who is addicted to his idolatry, to his lust for possessions.
Right.
And does that person, I think that we should feel at least some remorse, some pity for those people.
Right, because they're addicted to this lust for whatever that fill in the blank, to the exclusion of everything else.
It's the sin nature of man, and we all have it to some degree or another.
Right.
There's not a one of us that doesn't possess it.
And we need, and we always try to find balance in our lives, because I believe that that's what God wants us to do. He doesn't want us to be obsessed on one thing or another. My goodness, that's not healthy mentally, spiritually, any other way. So, and when you look at these people like the Rothschilds, I mean, to me, it's just that's all they think about is how much more can they have. I think that's what, you know, it's in their veins that they, instead of, you know, circus performing sawdust or blood, it's just dollar signs or something, or gold, whatever. I mean, that's running through their veins. That's all they are. That's what defines them. They're crazy. I think they're completely nuts. And maybe it's the inbreeding. I don't know. But
well, you know, so, Lonnie put in the chat that capitalism is what has caused many different levels of greed. I disagree. I think capitalism is a method. It's a tool. It's not the cause. It's the sin nature of man.
Right.
The sin nature of man is the cause of the lust of the flesh and the pride of life.
Right.
And I think
it's
that's
not,
pretty
it's
clear.
It's not money that's evil. It's the love of money that's evil.
It's
the worship,
it's
the idolatry.
It to, you know, the level of idolatry. It becomes
absolutely
your God, whether it's politics or money or, you know, power. And
drugs,
there's all different levels of power.
I see it in
the home, you know, where parents, it goes to their head, this power that they control their children, and it's just the lust for more and more obedience, and you know, it's like ruling over your children with an absolute iron fist, whether it's profitable for the children or not. So, I mean, you know, it runs across every human being on the planet. It's just varying degrees, and we tend to resent it when large numbers of us recognize that we are being subjected to it.
Mm-hmm.
That makes us angry, and we react in a negative way.
Well, yeah, okay. So look, you have people.
Now let's all sing Kumbaya and go home.
Yeah, right. So here, okay. Look, when you look at what's going on in our own government, whether it's the UN and EPA and Agenda 21 and all this control and this evilness, okay, that is not what the founders envisioned. That is not what they wrote. And people who don't understand these things need to go back to the original documents and start looking at them themselves. Do not take our words for this. My goodness. And there's plenty of ways to do this. You know, there are buildings...
And nothing shows that both sides are in cahoots on this.
Oh, my gosh.
And they go around Congress and the Senate where they were rejected and push EPA through the, push cap and trade through the EPA, and nobody says nothing.
I know. Well, look, you have to go back to the original. Who was in charge? Was it Nixon or was it Carter? I know one of those clowns did it. And in the 70s with the EPA, Was it? Okay. And then Nixon did something
along with
else.
The Department of Education and a whole plethora of other agencies.
Yes.
I mean, you know, it just makes you want to pull your hair out.
It does.
It follows along, it flows along the same lines as all of the other, you know, Social Security, which we talked about last night.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Medicare,
you know,
Medicaid.
If a little bit of government is good, a whole lot's better, right?
Oh, my gosh.
And that was the issue that I was taking with Beasley, is that, you know, while he could see and agree that, okay, this is a problem, the solution was more government regulation.
Yeah, because,
and I'm like, well, wait a minute.
How do you
in one breath blame
that.
The corporations for being in bed with the government and the government for being in bed with the corporations,
right,
and the way to fix that is more government? Really? It's no different than, you know, wow, we have borrowed ourselves into oblivion. We need a bailout. We need to borrow more money to stimulate the economy. It's the same equation.
Right. It's like the
more
old days
of the
when
same doesn't result in a solution, guys.
There's a poor guy sitting on the bed and he's got anemia and they bleed the patient.
Right. I mean, you know.
To me, this is a simple logic of our debt is, okay, we borrowed money with interest. We can't afford to even pay the interest, let alone the payment.
So we're
going
to borrow
more money.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, but what we've done, though, Bill, you you have to understand, though, Bill, that you're leaving out part of the equation, because what we've done in order to make it more palatable to borrow more is we've lowered the rate of interest.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we've lowered the interest rate because you know, Bill, that history is on my side. The interest rates will stay at zero forever. They're never going to rise again. So everyone might as well go out and borrow twice as much as they did before. I cannot tell you, just today, in my mailbox, I open it up and I just roll my eyes. I'm like, are you flipping kidding me? Not to mention that I have like 15 tax liens against my property, but that's beside the point. Just today, homeowner update. I qualify, pre-qualified, mind you, for $346,250.
Oh my God.
I thought we slayed, ladies and gentlemen, I thought we slayed the housing bubble dragon.
Yeah, right. No, look.
3.125% interest rate. Are you kidding? I could borrow $346,000, and my loan payment would be about what it is now on $176,000. I don't know why I don't do this. Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, and you mentioned Social Security. I think that was covered by Davy Crockett when he was saying the government has no business in charity.
Well, it's true.
And
Social Security was wrong when it was instituted, and it's just as wrong today. Just because it's been in force and on the law books for, you know, 50 years or so, or 60, or however long it's been, that doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it any more right. Just because it's going to be difficult to get rid of it now, that doesn't mean you don't try.
Absolutely.
You know, this is the problem with our society, which we just...
I know.
We've never met a government program we could say no to.
That's what I told that guy yesterday. And I said, you know, I said, that's why I asked him, did you ever read the Federalist Papers? And he said no. And I figured that before I even
asked him. Ask him how big government's working out for California.
Yeah. Oh, this is a microcosm.
My
of
point
what's
was,
to come.
How is Social Security working out for us
exactly.
right now?
Exactly. Oh, my God. Well, look,
well, it's
okay.
And
when you,
exactly. And
here's
got,
another thing about it. They all seem to forget that the government borrowed money from Social Security that it's never put back.
Oh, the whole thing was a Ponzi scheme from the beginning.
Yeah,
it was theft.
That's just there was never any freaking money in Social Security ever. Period.
Ever.
The only time
they lied.
Okay, let me see if I can explain this where everyone can get it. Okay, you've got a bank account. It's a trust fund. Okay, and it's
right.
set up for the Social Security Trust, and there is no money in it.
That's right.
Day one. First day of Social Security, people get paid the next day, and the government, the employers, withhold from those employees taxes for Social Security. And that money gets sent to the government. It goes directly into the general revenue. Guess what? Day three, there's still no money in that trust fund.
That's right.
The first checks are not slated to go out until day 31. On day 30, there is no money in the trust fund. None.
They appropriate
now,
it, don't they?
From day one till day 30, the government has collected a tremendous amount of money
sure.
through Social Security taxes. On day 30, sometime during the day, Congress says, oh, we have obligations under the Social Security Benefits Program of $2 million. So they appropriate $2.5 million.
There you go.
And they put $2.5 million into the account. $2 million in checks are drawn and go out the door, and there's $500,000. A couple of weeks later, some stragglers come in, and they got another $400,000 goes
sure.
out. Now they got $100,000 left, and it starts all over again. You know. The money is still flowing in every pay period, but nothing goes into the trust. No money goes into that account until Congress says, okay, we got an appropriations bill, and we're going to appropriate X amount of money from the Treasury. Guess what? There is no money in the freaking Treasury. So how are they going to get money? They put in Treasury notes or bonds, or they sell Treasury notes or bonds to the Fed. The Fed has the money printed. The money is electronically put on account, and Congress appropriates it to the account. So you tell me the difference between the Treasury Department placing IOUs, which are Treasury bonds, in the
right.
trust that are set to mature in 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, 3 years, right? It's still pretend money that doesn't freaking exist.
It's sick.
All this crap about the lockbox and the not the lockbox is just so much window dressing.
If I hear Hannity say that one more time, I will throw up right on.
Well,
I don't watch
two of Hannity's favorite things.
Oh,
two of Hannity's
God.
Favorite parroting the lockbox, right? Social Security lockbox and tax cheat. And I'd like to cut his tonsils out through his rectum when he says those things because it's so disingenuous.
Oh my
so
God.
Either he's a complete buffoon. And he has
yeah, he
no clue, or
I
he
think
knows
he's
exactly
clueless.
What he's doing.
I think he,
one of
I
the
think,
two.
Yeah. I think that's why I dubbed it the Clueless Hannity Show, because I don't think he gets it. I don't think, because I do believe that he's, for somewhere along the line, that he's a Christian and he's a family man. He just looks, you know, he looks the part. I don't know. But I don't think he's an evil person, so I think he's clueless, Ron. I really do. I think that
well,
he knows
you
nothing.
Know, just because he looks like Wilbur doesn't mean he can't be an evil
know.
Master. And,
I know.
And he talks a great game. But, you know, and I'll take him at face value. The guy's got to be an idiot. He's never
yeah, yeah.
put forth the effort to understand.
Yeah, I think
Social
he's just
Security.
not all there on that. On the other hand, I think people like Bill O'Reilly are just pure, oh, I don't even want to go. I can't.
Well, you want to hear Obama got another kick to the knees?
Uh-oh, what happened? Are you checking out the
Ban Ki-moon? Ban Ki-moon of the UN says that we shouldn't be going we shouldn't be striking
oh.
Syria. That would be a violation of international law.
I don't care about international law. I don't care about the UN or Ban Ki-moon.
Well, isn't yeah, but you know, I find that funny because Obama's part of the UN. And,
well, yeah,
you know, you're being
is,
he's being told by his own UN buddies no.
All the wheels are coming off. Look, everybody except Kerry and a few others, you know, the Bobbsey twins, have figured out that this guy's just an idiotic puppet of the elites. Well, a lot of them are in that same club, you know, or they think I'm sick of all of them.
I still have to laugh because today when Rand Paul and Kerry were talking, the actions with his hands and everything was just like John Kerry was trying to imitate Hillary Clinton in What Does It Matter?
Well, look, Kerry married money on purpose because I don't think he could tie his own shoelaces.
You think?
Jesus Christ.
She's got to be ugly. I've never seen her, but I mean, you know.
She's not Princess Di, no.
No.
You know, he
married money because he's too stupid to wipe his own derriere. So I can't stand him. I call him Lurch. I think he's a traitor, along with Hildebeest and all the rest of them. I'm done with them. I think I'm down. When I first started doing shows, I had like 22 people that I thought were decent in D.C. I'm down to 7, and that's an iffy thing. It's pretty bad.
You know, it was funny
damn.
When
I'm down
Saturday. Saturday,
when
we were at the church and our pastor was doing the memorial service for my dad, and he was talking about, you know, forgiveness, and he said, you know, he said no one's perfect, including me, although I'm getting close. And he said, you know, sometimes I have these dreams. I'm thinking, how does my mind come up with these things? Because I'm asleep, so I'm innocent in this. But he said, you know, this morning he had a dream that he was kissing another woman. And his wife looked up and he said, you know, the worst part is she was ugly.
That's funny. Oh, my gosh. It's funny how the mind works. I know. Well, you know.
Like I said, we
ran out of time with that guy because, I mean, I was so close to going into the EPA deal and the Agenda 21 deal, and there was not even anywhere near enough time to talk about economics or what capitalism is or what production is or, you know, what a free market's supposed to look like, you know.
And I think that actually I talked to Beasley in the chat, in private chat afterwards, because him and Mikey were going back and forth about who was smarter than the other, and I was like,
guys,
I mean, you want me to get the little ruler out and we'll measure your pee-pees now, or, you know, should we wait?
Oh, my goodness.
Because, you know, I know that I'm not smart, and it's funny because I've had debates with people that are very intelligent and have a high IQ, and you know, they always want to bring up the IQ or their degrees, how many college degrees they have. And I find that funny that, you know, you set your pedestal is your diploma, your bachelor's, your master's. Really? Sorry about that. And you know, then I find it funny, like Vincent Bugliosi, when I was on ABC's show and debating him over his book, The Case Against Free Will in the Bible, and he claims to be an agnostic and all this. And he was taking several of the scriptures out of context, and I called him to task on it, and he gave me a backhanded compliment. He said, you know, you're very smart, and I said, don't try to placate me with, you know, bullshit compliments, and I'm sorry that you're so transparent in your ignorance. You know, here you are an attorney with a law degree, and I'm over here, this little guy that, you know, never made it through the 11th grade, and you're telling me I'm smart and clever. You know, screw you. I don't need you for validation.
Yeah.
Okay? It's pretty plain to see that you're full of crap and you have an axe to grind and an agenda that you're trying to put forth, and I'm just laying it bare, and, you know, sorry that you know, your buddies in academia don't do that for you.
Whoa.
I didn't need any letters next to my name or, you know, after my name to qualify me to do that.
Well,
and there's
a
lot of people out there that are not necessarily really smart, but what they are is wise. They have wisdom. And we've been to the school of hard knocks, and we know bullshit when we smell it.
Oh,
you
man.
Know? And it smells just like all the other crap. It's feces.
Yep, and it's all over the place nowadays.
I had a college professor named Ken Van Loo. And he had a saying that said, intelligence that cannot be communicated to the common man is wasted.
Yeah, it's true.
It's absolutely true.
You know, and the thing
is, common sense will probably take you farther than book learning.
Every single day, Bill, and you know it. I there's a guy that I debate with that is on the boards on other forum that's the atheist, you know, and we go back and forth. And the guy has a master's degree in communications, and yet you suck at getting your point across where everyone in the room understands it. You would the communications would equip the ability to speak and type where a broader audience could fully comprehend what the hell you're trying to say. What you've done to try to put yourself above the fray and convince yourself how clever and smart you are. But we are in very subtle ways in context to prove yourself that you're doing all these.
We're breaking up.
It doesn't take very small. Does that make you the smart guy in the room? You know?
Are we okay now?
Go back. Yeah. Go back and read the problem. But when the Oracle of Delphi told Socrates that this is life and the world, he knew they'd be right, but also knew that the Oracle could be wrong. And the more experts he talked to, the more he realized that they were idiots and that the Oracle was probably correct after all.
Wow. So is everybody okay and clear coming in?
I think, though, Ron, is we have to look at how we've gotten so divided. And really, if we really took a good look at that, we'd see that it's been our leaders that have played the major role in dividing us.
Well, I think the division's always there. But
I think they try to push it further with the racism, with the gays,
you know,
with everything else.
Certainly.
And
look,
and now they may be facing something that will unite the public, and I don't think they like that idea. It won't unite all the public, but I think more people will get united against this Syria strike than from all parties. This is going to span all parties going against this.
Well, you know, the thing is,
even if it does, how to utilize that to help alleviate and solve the problems we're facing and getting rid of those in charge that have led us to this situation.
Well, right. Well, we have to, you know, Bill, when you talk about the divisions,
I'm all for firing everybody in the Congress and the Senate and the Obama administration. I'm all for that. But who the hell are we replacing all these people with?
Well,
you and me. That's who.
Like, well, you know, we should. But the thing is, we don't have an engaged public. And one of the reasons we don't have an engaged public is we have become slaves to our jobs. We've become, honest to God, look at the and that goes back to, and I hate to keep harping on this, guys, but I can't help it because, it's like that commercial, you know, the guy's like, wow, I've been to the end of the internet. I know it. I've seen it. I know what the cornerstone, the keystone to this whole thing is this freaking banking
system. When I start to fly around the internet, I always put my shoot on.
You
never know where you're going to land.
Well, look, when you talked about that, and I know Ron had given all of us eons and eons of things like the Secret of Oz, the Jekyll Island. I mean, just tons of stuff. You and Philo used to go on with this stuff. Frank Winkle and you guys.
Rothschilds.
Oh, my God. I mean, there's Yeah, there's a ton of it. I mean, we've all gotten those. I've got somewhere in my archives in my computer. But every time that I keep reading and learning, this is why once the light bulb went on and I said, okay, I need to understand this at least half as well as Ron does. So I started educating myself, and I says, I'm going to read Road to Serfdom. I'm going to read Jekyll Island, and I'm going to read everything I can on, you know, Milton Friedman and everything that goes along with the Ayn Rand ideas of economics that, you know, the Austrian school of. And it's, you know, and then once I'm halfway through the Jekyll Island and I'm looking at the evils of the banking system and the evils of what these people do, my God, I mean, it not only does it open your eyes, it makes you so angry. You just want to slap several people's teeth down their throats. I wanted to jump through the screen today and say, all right, Rand Paul, stand up in front of this guy and ask him, what about the stupid central banking system over there, or lack thereof, and that's the real reason. And I wanted to slap everybody's teeth down their throats on that damn screen today. I was just...
I wanted someone to ask John Kerry, can you guarantee that this action will not lead to a terrorist attack on our soil?
It's all crap. And that's why I said earlier.
I mean, has anybody ever considered how many people are in this country who are still supportive of Assad, or how many people in this country who are supportive of the rebels?
My answer to Kerry would be, yes, you can do nothing. You just sit there and you just don't send those boys over there and you bring everybody home. We're done with this nonsense. All of it. You know, this nation building and these endless wars. I mean, my God, I would have been a clone of Ron Paul right in his face. It's a good thing I wasn't in the room. They probably would have handcuffed me and dragged me out, hogtied me. I don't know. I'm so sick of it. You know, it's just crazy. Yeah.
Well,
so do I, Ron. I try.
Well, in all fairness, I mean, I really do, and I'm not trying to be braggadocious. I retain about 98% of everything that I consume reading-wise.
That's
and I have very good memory recall. I always have. It's a gift. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most of what I know, and I'll be absolutely just plain out honest, most of what I know and what I've read was over a span of 9 months.
Wow.
I quit work. My wife, number one, will attest to that. I retired. And for nine months...
Oh, my gosh.
I was absolutely, completely, 100% consumed. I read everything I could get my hands on. I thumbed through old law books. I've got a whole bookshelf of old law books that I would just thumb through. And you would be amazed at what you can... Well, Brian, just to clarify, Linda is wife number two. So,
it's a joke. It's a long story. Oh, my God.
It's a family thing. It's a family affair. I think there's a song about that. But anyway, I digress.
Well,
one thing you got to keep in mind...
I do.
And Bill, I'm not trying
reading.
To cut you off, but one thing you got to keep one thing we have to keep in mind: the monetary system. Okay, the monetary system is not the thing that enslaves you; it is the method by which you are enslaved. The thing that enslaves everyone under the monetary system is their consent. This is why.
Right.
Why? I've been trying to, you know, just don't go along with it, and it won't work.
Exactly correct.
If you go along with it, it works beautifully, and you find yourself in chains. The
right,
moment that people say, nope, sorry, I'm not buying it, don't want none, don't need none, I gave it the office, see you later,
yep.
Bye, keep your bank, keep your interest, keep your mortgage, I don't need it, don't want it, it
and
falls apart.
And you know what else? I think this goes with everything else too, Ron. I see this happening if people stand up and say, I'm not letting my kids learn Common Core, you're not putting this in this school, and stop consenting to it, then it goes away. You know what I mean? And the
it's one hand feeds the other, Because once they have you into the system, once you are into the system, once you've bought into it, hook, line, and sinker, and you're following, and you've got to run out and buy the latest vacuum cleaner or the newest car or the coolest house. Or,
I know.
You're sucked in. And Common Core, it's just stuff. you don't have time to mess with that. Because
well,
you're too busy
stuff. I just
going
need my
to
government
work.
To get the hell out of my business and leave me alone.
Right. But, you know, you're too busy going to work to pay the interest payments on all this easy money that you've gotten. That I mean, you know, it's like a hamster on a wheel.
It's
really
sick. Well, what they're doing, Ron, is they're forcing people to take this to the court systems, just like they had to do
in Cisco
County.
No, they're not. Look, the courts are not your friend. I mean, when you talk about Common Core and the Agenda 20, well, sure, they give you no alternative because all the numbnuts are in your elected idiots, well, they're just following along like the damn Pied Piper. So, yeah, I agree with you at that point. But long, long, long time ago,
yes,
there was a time when the people could have gave them the middle finger and said,
we ain't doing it. I know.
You know,
I agree with you.
In Abraham Lincoln's war, the army could have said, no, we're not going to fire on our
They could have.
But they didn't.
And you know what?
Because they were just doing their job.
Oh, boy. And that was way before the old Nuremberg trial, so
wasn't it? Well, see, we had to change the rules for Hitler and his boys, you know, for the Nuremberg trials, because up to that point in time, it was all okay. But then after that, well, you know, we wanted to punish, not necessarily we, they wanted to punish the Germans. And if you go back and research the impetus, what really drove World War One, if England doesn't get involved in World War One, there is no World War One.
Right, absolutely. No, I know. I'm going
and the
through
only
that
reason,
step by step.
Yeah, and the only reason England was even remotely interested in Germany in World War One is they saw Germany as a threat to their commerce, to the British mercantilism system.
Rat bastards.
We can't have that. It's like whack-a-mole. And that's what it's become. It's like that game, Quack-a-Mole.
Really, I know. It's so sad. Look, you're right. In fact, when you talk, I have not read that book yet, but I'm getting ready to order it because I'm almost done with Jekyll Island. And when you look at what Lincoln did and how badly he screwed this up, I tell you, it's time to get the bones out, put them back in the fourth theater, and let me
see
it again.
When you read that.
Yeah,
you are
going to
need some Valium and like cases
of
wine.
Thank God, I got it.
I'm here to tell you.
Oh, I know.
You're probably going to need some of that. Was that Plavix or whatever, the blood pressure medicine? You're going to need some of that too.
I forget what they call it.
Because you are going to be ready to murder someone when you read that book.
Exactly.
And,
I mean,
you know,
just
and,
what
and
you
if,
told me. Oh God.
If you know this last night in my conversation with Beasley. I made an effort to work in more than three or four times reference to Lincoln and his shortcomings. Never got a rise out of the man with that. So that was intentional. And this, guys, it's a game of chess. And you don't win a game of chess by picking up the pieces and slamming them on the board.
So I know. Like we say, we don't know where this guy was coming from, except from what I got, he was on the libtards that it was social issues, because he kept referencing the gay marriage and the abortion.
Right.
And so it sounds to me like this guy was a total atheist, because anyone who's going to chat, I mean, I don't know.
You know my view on atheists, they're liars. And they're lying to themselves, and they want everyone else to buy into their delusion.
And
that's so, okay. There's a way to slowly peel back the layers to get to the heart of the issue, and that's how you have to approach people. Everyone that you deal with, some really just rip their chest open and say, "See, here's my heart right here." Okay. So you can go in for the kill if that's what you're after. But, my thing is I really, truly want to change hearts and minds that can be changed. And there are some out there. There are a lot out there. And believe it or not, they're on both sides of the proverbial aisle, left and right.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I had a show, a year or so ago when the guy called in, and every time he gave me an objection to Ron Paul, I was able to pull his legs out from under him and prove, and then he'd switch tactics and he'd go to something else. We'd change the rules,
sure.
and we'd change the conversation because he realized he didn't have a leg to stand on that. So when you stick to the facts and just the facts, you know, you can begin to bring their ideology around for them to recognize what they already believe in their hearts. They just don't realize it because they've been fed so much misinformation that they have a false belief about something. And when they finally see it, the revelation, there's nothing more powerful than that moment of revelation. Nothing. And that's something that I can't force feed you the truth.
No, you can't. Well, because, look, let's
face
it, God gives
you... I've
got to lead
you down the path and let you stumble across it all by your lonesome.
Right. It's just like when you talk about people who actually do be Christians and do have faith, and then you can... And when they question their faith, it's because they're expecting God to be one way in their minds, and they can't accept him the way he really is. And the reason that he allows people, bad people, to do bad things to good people is because he is so omnipotent, and we have such a limited capacity for understanding, but I think he's very wise, as a human father would be who loves his children, that he wants you to get those answers for yourself. And that's how, this learning curve is through trial and tribulation. It's not to be mean. It's to teach you. It's just like when you allow children to learn about things that they need to learn about.
And we don't learn it through, bastard brat child emotional outburst. It's not how you learn things. Children don't learn things by throwing a fit, and neither do we. And, you know, the thing is, and I'm glad you brought this up, because I wanted to include this in my show yesterday, but I didn't have time. Father, when we look at a father, our earthly father, right here, our dad, you know, there's things about our dad that we resent, that we don't like, that make us angry, that upset us. It's an emotional reaction. And what we have to understand is that our dad, our flesh and blood daddy here on this earth, is no different than we are. He's a human being. But as children, we tend to idolize our fathers. We tend to believe they're supermen. We put them on a pedestal.
Mm-hmm.
And then as we grow older, we begin to realize that, you know,
they're not just human.
They're just human, just like us.
Yeah.
This is why it is so ultimately important for us to have a father-son
relationship
with our Creator, our Father God.
Exactly.
Because he is perfect. Unlike
our
father in the flesh, he
even
is
though
perfect.
He
will give us the wisdom to forgive.
Even though
the
human ones still love their children, they're not trying to be mean to them at all. I don't think it's a conscious thing.
Again, they're so limited in their capacity.
Right.
Okay.
But
I've always tried
because they love. Yeah.
Well, certainly, and I've always been a firm believer that God gave us the gift of procreation, we in our sin nature, in our human flesh, so that we could
be humbled.
Some inkling of the depth of the love of our Father God.
Right.
For us.
Right. And this
and
is
people,
why.
People say, people always, you know, I always hear it couched in terms of how could God create an Adolf Hitler or a Jeffrey Dahmer? And you've got it backwards, because what you have to look at is God loves each of his children so much that even knowing beforehand that they're going to be an Adolf Hitler or a Stalin, He knows that the outcome is better. He knows better than you and I. And it's not that he's sadistic and wants to allow the creation of a Stalin to murder millions and tens of millions of people.
Right.
He loved it. He loved him like you love your only son. And he knows that there is a chance for salvation. So what happens in this life in the flesh is pretty inconsequential
right,
in the grand scheme.
And do you think, just on the off chance, you know, I'm just thinking outside the box a little bit, that God wants us to see these people and actually learn something? I don't know.
Well, it's kind of like that.
Because he knows the end.
With the cloud, you know?
Right.
I think he's trying to tell us something.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no, but
can I change just a hair?
Bill, you're more than welcome to, sir.
In 1977, God bless me, and I married my wife on this day. We've been together
Yay.
Many, many years, and every year is a bigger blessing than the year before. And I have so much to be thankful and grateful
for.
For
you or for her? Jolene? I'd like to think we both feel the same way.
She's amazing.
You know, we've gotten so in tune with each other and stuff. It took years. It wasn't overnight. It didn't happen overnight. She went through hell for many years with me in my wilder years. But now that I'm more of a settled down, more of a family person, more family oriented and stuff, she's still beside me. And it was God's blessings that I was able to be here today at this point with her and still together.
Well, you know, thanks, Bill. I want to thank everybody for being here tonight. I had some problems with the computer, and I was going to do the War Pigs, and the darn thing went bonkers on me. I don't know if it's BTR or my computer, but thanks, Bill, for a fabulous show. You and I didn't get to do, I know, poor Ron, because he was wound up from yesterday, and thanks for that. And Lonnie and Brian, my God, it was great. And I'm going to do a little tribute to Tom Golden, because I love these songs that you guys put in here. And, you know, when we talk about the Lord and we talk about people and how we treat each other, God looks at each one of us as his children. And he will ask us when we go up there, he will say, is this how you treat one of my daughters? Is this how you treated one of my sons? And boy, we will be held about it, so you guys better think on it. We love you. God bless. Tomorrow night's my show. I got a whole bunch of stuff, man. I went bonkers. I got out my old books. We're going to have some history lessons tomorrow, man. We are going to go down through it. We're going to look at everything from George Washington to the Federalist Papers to some ancient history. We're going to get down. Love you guys. I'm going to play this really cool song for Tom and Ron and everybody. Thank and say hi to Jolene. Thanks, Bill. We'll see you tomorrow night.
Good night. God bless.
Live is for you. You've awakened me to know.
night, guys. Love you all. See you tomorrow night.